Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, this is the Debo Taiwo Talk Show, and I have an amazing personality in the house today. Someone who is a serial entrepreneur, is the CEO of Live Simple, a company in Nigeria focused on helping clients improve revenue, particularly targeting SMEs, small, medium-sized enterprises. And he's also known for his expertise in growing businesses around growth strategies and helping them optimize operations and boost profitability. You're welcome to the Debo Taiwo Talk Show, Ezekiel Solesi.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. It's great to finally be here.
I know, right? We've been trying to do this for a little bit, but I know
For
you're
months,
very
man.
busy. We had to work around your schedule, but we're finally
Yeah,
doing this, and I'm happy
for
that you're here eventually. Now, we
sure.
will just dive into it real quick. I wanted to find out, I've been itching to ask you this question. How did you come? Okay, before that, let's find out. Let's tell us a little bit about yourself, Ezekiel. Let's know you from your educational background and what propelled you to start business at a very young age.
Oh, okay. So for me, right? I mean, in fact, I had someone ask me this question yesterday, and I told them that I think the best thing that happened to me very early on in secondary school was good friends. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's just the, in fact, one of them is actually my house on his way to the airport back to the UK now. You
Oh,
probably know
that's
him,
interesting. Okay.
Ohio.
Oh, you're more quiet. I do.
Yes. So it's right now I'm trying to get. I mean, I can't just took the cab, so I can't take him to the airport because of this.
Ah, thank
So
you.
it's good friends, right? And so good friends got me reading books when I was in GS3. So honestly, that's really where it started. Started reading books in GS3. I remember my first book was Dream Seeds by Mike Murdock. And so that sort of started personal development for me. And that went all through secondary school, went into the university. And but what happened to me as I got into it, so before I left secondary school, I had started to read, I had started to get some speaking opportunities, but it was sort of like fellowship based. So I started to have a lot of opportunities to speak to people. But when I got to the university, I met somebody. So I went to the pre-degree school of that university. So I met a guy, right? His name is Shego. And Shego was phenomenal. And it was phenomenal in that he was the first guy that I had met who had such a short gap between knowledge and execution. So you see people who, I mean, back before then, I know a lot. I mean, you know a lot of things, you read all these books. But if you look at your life, it's significantly far away from the level of knowledge that you have because you have all of these execution gaps. See this guy? If you see this guy reading a book that says how to kill somebody with a fork, I mean, somebody's gonna die tomorrow.
End of
Yeah,
story. Execution is like end
telling
hands on.
you, like, if you see this guy reading a book, how to whatever it is, somebody's gonna die tomorrow. I've never met somebody like that. So, I quickly became friends. He was quite impressed with how much knowledge I had and
That
how
you
many
had,
books that,
and then you were
that I read. I was very impressed with
with his
how,
execution skills,
yeah,
like
how
hitting the ground
like,
running.
yeah, I was like blown away by how fast he executed and everything, So we became friends. And when we eventually got to the school, we started a group called Purpose Group. So I was studying chemistry, he was studying physics. Now, in fact, his education continuing. Right now, he has a business that he started right out of school. And I've been consulting for them since the beginning. I mean, they are well over a 10 billionaire business. I mean, it's like,
OMG, that's
I'm
you.
telling you, the guy's not playing. I mean, he's not playing at all, man.
That's huge.
Right? And right now, not only does he have a 10 billionaire business, he lives both in Nigeria and in the UK. He has a 10 billion business in Nigeria, and he's built sort of like a private equity firm in the UK. In the
That's impressive.
UK,
In the UK, not
right?
even in Nigeria. That's
He buys up businesses in the UK, buys up businesses in the same
huge.
industry, puts them together, repackages them and sells them to a bigger business. That's what
That's
he does.
that's
I
that's
mean,
huge.
I just tell you, this guy is not playing.
It's not
I'm
playing,
where
and
I am now. I'm still playing now.
Ezekiel, definitely a lot of people are looking up to you. We know you're not playing, but I know that I know what I
I'm
mean.
telling you, compared to what I'm doing, man, I'm playing. So started this group called Purpose Group because I've always really wanted to sort of, teach what I know, And so another thing, when I left secondary school, actually, I did about 2 years before I went to university because I was not interested in university. Because
Interesting. Was
I
there any
wasn't.
specific reason why you weren't interested in
I
it
had read
at
too
that
many
time?
books. They said Bill Gates drop out. Everybody just did drop out.
Okay, Steve Jobs dropped out. A lot of people dropped out, right? You might as well have, yeah.
I was like, at the point. In fact, what got me interested in the university actually was a book. So I'd read a book, and the book then talked about the importance of networking and the importance of, how and where you meet people, and how that the relationships that you build in university environments tend to be relationships that you kept for a very, very long time.
Can you remember the author of this book?
To be honest,
Okay.
right now, I
That's
can't.
okay. That's all right. Read
I have
about
to
it
look
next
for the
time.
book. I think it's something Blair, Making Money Out of Thin Air.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wrote the book. The guy that wrote the book also wrote the book, How to Be Rich Without Going to School, something like that.
Something along that lines. Okay, sounds cool. I'll try to figure it out before I
But I know that the particular book was Making Money Out of Thin Air. It's red cover, gold light, right? Gold inscription. Yes, so that's
description.
the book.
Okay. Interesting.
So I'd read that book, and so that was what drove me to go to
So you
university. I mean, and I'm happy I did because I married somebody from
were.
university.
Ah, that's interesting. So Dami is like a cherry on top
Yeah, I
for you
mean, I
going to
should thank
university. That's
the
interesting. Okay,
guy.
sounds good. By the way,
But
my wife's name is also Dami, so that's why it's easy for me to remember your wife's name.
oh,
Yeah, that's
cool.
interesting.
So, 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 so that's sort of how we started. So I started really, and then I was fortunate to have done a few businesses before I left secondary school, and while I was in university, I started a couple of businesses because I also was very particular about only trying to share things about business that I had tried. That I had tried. So if I hadn't tried it, or I had worked with a particular business owner to try it. If it hasn't worked for somebody that I know, I didn't consider it credible to share.
To share. Oh, that's interesting.
So that no, that's what we do. So any even till date, like anything that we share publicly, we will try it ourselves, right? Try it ourselves, it works. We'll try it with a small group of business people. It works before we then put it out. And when we're trying to meet these people, we tell them that, look, it's an experiment. We thought about this. We've tried it. It works for us. We want to see if it cuts across industries. Because, I think that the integrity of knowledge is its application beyond the industry where it was discovered.
Where was
So,
discovered? Yeah.
if I run a consulting firm and my knowledge can only work in consulting, it has no use.
Yeah, has no
But
use
if I
to
can take
someone
that,
who deals in trades and services or
if I can take that
finance.
into somebody who sells something, real estate, or somebody who has a fashion business, somebody, and it works, then we're sure that it's really something that. But that's sort of how it was, So I started out early in school, and then I just continued through university, and that purpose group sort of helped me to hone my skills because every week I was talking about entrepreneurship every week for 4 years.
What was your first break in business? Because apparently, I don't think you've ever worked 9 to 5 for
No,
someone. Exactly.
I
And you've
haven't
been
yet.
out of university, if I know very clearly, probably be like 14 years ago or 15 years that you've been out of university. That's crazy.
16,
15, right?
16,
16 even.
16.
So you've been out of university for 16 years, never did 9 to 5, which is 100% different from the mindset that a lot of people are at the time. Entrepreneurship was slowly becoming a thing then, but it's more popular these days. So never worked 9 to 5. What was your first break? And what was that conviction part that this business path, consulting path, is what I am meant for, like what you are meant for, what you're meant to do?
So I I think there's a number of them, but the one that I remember that was really big for me was, so when I left school, even though I'd never taken a job, I interned with a lot of people. So at the time, I was interning with near Disney about 2 times a week, you know. So I was, you know, doing, but I only had small opportunities then, maybe like 50K, 30K, you know, kind of stuff, right? So I think this must have been in 2010 or thereabout, right? I was somewhere in his office, and so near this, I was doing a lot of speaking engagements for Etisalat at the time, and you know, I mean, he that gig sort of made him the highest paid speaker in the country because Etisalat was paying him about 2 million naira to speak every 2 weeks
Every
across
2 weeks.
the country.
And I
Yeah,
think
it
that was
was.
the time they slowly came into the country. I think they came in as the fourth player.
Yes. So they were
Very low
using.
MTN and Airtel, so
Exactly.
yeah.
So they were working with him to activate students. So they were so Etisalat had this strategy where, you know, they would go to university, they would do a business seminar, they would do a football match, and they would do a music concert. You know, so their thinking, I believe, was that, you know, the people who would go for a seminar, right, wouldn't come for a concert, right? You
Course.
know, and
Most
then
likely, or sometimes.
exactly, and then so they sort of
They
like,
kind of
so he
try
was
this
doing all
out.
of that. Yeah, so he was doing all of that, and he was now. So one of the guys who was like top brand person in Etisalat, his mother owned a school in GRA, Ikeja.
Okay, you catch her.
So the school, and for me, this sort of underscores why, you know, I just take every opportunity at the beginning. Okay, I take every opportunity. So they wanted to do the primary six end of year. Just
Yes, end of
I
year
don't know
party, whatever.
that thing where they do end of year where primary six students are there,
Are
the
they moving
GCSEs.
into, yeah,
Yeah.
primary school,
So they
whatever?
wanted to do that, and so they had invited Nia Desai to come do it. Now, Nia Desai wasn't really interested in something like that. So I was sitting in the room. He walks in and he says, "I mean, some people want me to come and speak at secondary school and primary school. You know, who's interested?" And everyone like primary school. And I said, "I'm interested. What was there?" You
Two
know,
hands
so
up.
you know, so I did, and so I went there, and I spoke on his behalf, right? And I went there because, I mean, it's an opportunity to speak. Secondly, it was a, you know, price and speech something. The parents of the student will be there. It's a very, very expensive school to go to. The parents of the student will be there. I'll
So an
speak.
opportunity for you to also put yourself
You
out there.
understand?
You never
You know,
know.
so I did. So when I did, they gave me a painting. The painting is still in my, it's
Wow.
still in my house now. They
Yeah.
gave me a painting that was done by a student. I'm looking at it now, and they gave me 50,000 there. Now remember, I didn't go for myself. I went to
You
represent
went
somebody.
to present
So
over
I
there.
took the both painting and the 50K, and I took it back to the person I went to represent. I said, "This is everything, right?" So he said, "Okay, good." So he took the 50K and he gave me the painting. I took the painting. I was happy. I mean, still, I'm looking at the painting
You've
now.
kept it.
I'm
You
happy.
definitely. It meant a
So I
lot.
started in my
It meant a
house.
lot to you.
And so, you know, that went on, you know, went back to work, kept doing all the stuff. Then exactly 1 year after, exactly 1 year after, right, I get a call from there. Because I did, because usually when I go represent somebody, I don't give my number to,
Yeah, you want to
so
maintain the channel.
yeah, I went, yeah, good. So
That's
if they
called
wanted to talk to
loyalty
me,
and
they
all of
needed
that.
to talk to
I
me.
completely
Exactly.
understand. Yeah.
So they call, I get a call from there this day at about 9 o'clock in the morning, right? And it says, "Remember that place you went to speak last year?" He said, "Yes." He said, "This time around, they don't even want me.
Want
They want
you.
for you." I said, "Oh." And he said, "Can you make it?" I said, "No, I mean, I'll be able to make it, you know." And to get there, because at the time I was staying in Ikotun, the place was in GRA. I took like three buses, two bikes,
Oh my
just
God.
to get through
Just to
to
be able
get
to make it out.
Ikeja under bridge.
Oh my God.
When I got to Ikeja under bridge, I now took a taxi, so that I can arrive there in
Of
school.
course, you can arrive as you can look the part. You can look the part. Of course, of course.
I get there, and this time around they gave me another painting, and they gave me, I think it was 50,000. But Nia Desai had told me
This
that
is for
whatever
you.
it is you get there, this is yours. I mean, it's not
Yeah.
a, you know. So when I did that, so the lady called me into the director called me into the office, and then we just kept talking. And she said, "Oh, do you do trainings for staff?" I said, "Yes, I do."
At that
said,
time,
okay.
have you started at that time?
Yeah, I started. In fact, I'd even done some, I'd done some stuff for First Bank at the time,
Wow.
but I did it interning for Dia this so I was just sort of like, I was like a training coordinator, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, and a lot of those gigs were for exposure. You never really get
Yes, you
paid. It's
never.
like maybe I never did get paid. But I was very happy to do it. You know, I was very happy. So mentorship allows you to work on projects that you're in quote not qualified for. So I'm writing all these documents for First Bank training. I'm, you know, I'm putting slides together and all that kind of thing.
Definitely give
So
it exposure.
it, exactly. So I said, oh yeah, I did it. And then that training was a one day training. I think it was about 700,000 there.
That's
You
huge at
know,
that time.
so that was the first time I was getting that kind of money.
Wow, that's
You
huge.
know,
And
and you know the
that
funny thing,
yeah, sorry, please
that
go.
client has remained a client to today.
Wow, that's huge.
In fact, not only has the client remained a client, that's the school my children attend.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean every that client they've remained a client till this very day.
This
To
is
very
an invaluable lesson that you've just,
day.
I mean, because a lot of youths these days, I find out a lot of youths these days, most of them are not willing to pay the price of learning. So first off, it started from this one saying, I have a gig at a primary school, who wants to go? And then you rose up your hand. And then you went there, you did what you had to do, you returned money to him, you had forgotten about the place. And then a year after, they remembered you. And then you went, you didn't say, oh my God, they're just telling me now I can't go. You made sure you got there, you got
I'm
an
telling you.
A, but not just 50K now, you then got a client, and that client has remained from probably you're talking about 15 years ago, whatever long.
Yeah.
So that's an invaluable lesson. What do you think is responsible for that lack of drive from youths these days? A lot of people, they don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to pay that price to get there. But now they see Ezekiel Shola on billboards or in Admiralty, and they're like, "Oh, I want to be this guy." They don't know the story that you took a bike one time from Ikotun and jumped all the way to, able to, like, you've paid prices, right? What can we do to, it wasn't part of what I was going to ask you, but it's an invaluable lesson. I just thought, what can we do differently to shape youths in this the age and time that we live in Nigeria, or even generally?
I don't. So to be honest, right? First, I think that we can't excuse the fact that there is massive deprivation in the country. And you know, the big problem with poverty is that it just at its height, it promotes short-term thinking. You know, so most people, and to be honest, even when I remember, even before I entered the near this during my service year, I'd interned, I'd volunteered at a project in Abuja, and it was £105 million project.
Not even million naira now, it's million pounds. And we're talking about 2000 and whatever, 2009.
And I worked there for free. In fact, I went to them and asked to work for free. So I remember one of my friends from university, no, it was from secondary school. We met in Abuja, Osagie. I don't know if you remember him. He worked for
Osage, was it in your set?
Yes.
Okay.
So he
If
walked up
you
to
say
me.
his last name, I remember, but yeah, sure.
I can't remember his last name. But he walked up to me and was like, what was I doing? You know, like, blah, blah. And I told him, I said that, you know, I said, you have to think very long term, right? You have to think very long term, you know, that if I hung around these people, I would learn something. Now, it was hard, though, because I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything. I had to squat with somebody. It was ridiculously hard in that period. If I was so hard, I remember one time I was listening to the radio one time, and they were asking what's the meaning of Festac. And I just noticed that nobody had know the meaning. And I just texted it to them. I want money.
Yeah, of course. I remember all those things they do on radio there. You can really charge cards and stuff like that.
Want 10K. That 10K
Oh,
was like lifeblood.
lightsaber.
But it was hard at the time. But somehow, some way, remember, I'm coming off the background of having read a lot of books. So, you know, knowledge sort of helped me to just realize that the things that because I'd read so many books on people doing what I was doing. You know, I mean, a key book was Kiyosaki, when he says, when you're young, work to learn, don't work for money.
No
You
more
know, so
running, yeah.
I mean, if you think about somebody ringing all that into your head, and then at the end of the day, you're like, you know, this thing is going to work. You just don't know how. I mean, and very important, right? The relationships I built. I mean, when I was done at the service, I told them I was leaving. I built some very valuable relationships in that place, and those relationships between 2011 and 2013, I did the Enterprise Development Conference in Transcorp Hilton every month. Every month, I'll be at Transcorp Hilton. I'll do it. I didn't pay a dime for Transcorp
A
Hilton because of
transcorp.
one of the, because one of the guys who was there was sort of like a board member, had something there that I could collaborate with him on. And just going to do that event every month in Transcorp Hilton shaped my career for the rest of my life. Because I mean, think about you doing something in Transcorp. Transcorp is like the best hotel in Abuja at the time,
100%.
maybe even in Nigeria.
100%.
Do you understand? So the quality of people, you know, the opportunity. I did some work for the presidency. I did some work for some mega corporations. All of them met me in that at my own event at Transcorp. Do you
That's
understand?
huge.
You
And
know, so but if I didn't go to, you know, learn, so I think it's a combination of two, three things. First is I don't entirely blame these young people because deprivation promotes short-term thinking. You know, when people are very deprived, the only thing they think about is, you know, it's like when we're in school when there's no water, right? The only thing you think about is water, right? No matter how much water you drink, you still are thirsty. But when there's an abundance, you know,
And
you don't, yeah, you
yeah.
don't think much about it. So that's one, you know, but there's also the other part where, you know, I always encourage young people to try and understand people's success stories. So, for example, you see Davido blows up at 19, but he's been in the studio since 13, right?
Yes.
Wizkid blows up at 18, but he's been in the studio that we had, even sweeping OJBJ's real
Yeah,
studio since
we had.
12. You understand? So people have to, you know, and you see some guy like Ira Starr comes out and blows up, and then you hear Don Jazzy saying, look, that she blew up now, she's been in development for 4 years.
4 years, indeed.
You understand?
So
So
Burna Boy had mainstream songs and didn't really blow up until like much later.
do you understand? So again, it's them trying to understand, you know, contextually where people are coming from. Because there is nobody, almost nobody, you know, like you mentioned Burna Boy, you can have mainstream songs and not blow up.
Hundred
You know,
percent.
it took Jay-Z, I said Jay-Z, it took him having the name of his music coincide with Kanye West.
Exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's the title of the song.
And everybody
Before
just went.
he actually, and he had been in the industry since 2012. Like that
Yeah.
song that was really nice, and he had done a couple of other singles, but he didn't get that mainstream attention until like
Yes,
7 years after.
it took
So,
a cosmic mistake or a cosmic blessing.
a cosmic blessing, we would say. A cosmic blessing.
Yes, man.
All right, thank you
Cosmic
for your perspective towards that. I wanted to find out as well. Obviously, you've grown your brand, the Limp Simple brand. You've grown that brand now for many years. And like I was saying earlier, a lot of people sometimes just see your billboard in main streets, main streets in Lagos, Admiralty, Lekki, and all of those places. They're like, oh, wow, that's Ezekiel, right? Now, you haven't just grown your brand alone. You've also developed numerous and credible relationships with people like Nii Adesanya. You mentioned him earlier. And I saw from your most recent event, you had people like Cosmos, Maduka. You had a lot of people coming. You had even the president of an African nation coming for your event. How have you been able to grow your brand and spread your tentacles in s such ways that you are pretty much rolling with the high and mighty in the business world in Nigeria today?
So what we try to do is to think very long term. So a lot of what we do in our organization is, at least for us organizationally, is working towards 2028, 29, right? So when we started out, we had in our mind the kind of clients we want. So, and we started to say, where can we have a better chance of being able to meet them? So, for example, even our monthly strategy workshop holds at a hotel. It's a very expensive place. We actually don't make any money organizing that event in a hotel. We could have made significantly less. I mean, organizing all of our events, all our events happens in a hotel or Marriott hotel. And the reason why is we always ask ourselves, if Dangote was going to come to our event,
where would he come?
Where would he be more comfortable to? You understand? So the first thing is you want to position in the places where the people who
that matters would want to.
Yeah, act. Good. The second thing is, you know, when most people do you know the reason why we put out billboards? We don't put out billboards because we want participants to come. Our billboard strategy has absolutely nothing to do with participants.
So, like, what's the strategy? Let's see. Let's hear that.
We put up billboards because of the speakers we're expecting for next year. So usually our billboard starts in August. In that August, that's when we start contacting our speakers for the next year.
For the next edition. Because billboards on those main highways in Lagos are not cheap. I know.
They're very expensive. In fact, so we put them up because you see, you're talking to these guys. They don't really know who you are, right? But the moment they get your letter, you get into their radar, they're driving, and we put them in specific places. So there's one at Maryland. Nobody goes to the airport without passing from another place. We put one right at the edge of Tubman Bridge because 4 million cars go through that place every day.
Every day,
right? We put them in places in Admiralty, in Ahmadu Bello, in major streets where the types of people that we are expecting, you know, would pass through. So that's why we put those things up because, you know, I think nobody wants to be your breakthrough. If you want to attract somebody, you need to sort of, they need to see that you're functioning at their level. And the reason why we're trying to attract all these guys is not really just for our brand positioning. It's really because, so we have a community that we're trying to build, right? There are about 4,000 people in that community now. And they are divided in different strata. So we have people that are like, oh, I'm just starting my business up until my first 50 million. We have people that have exceeded 50 million. They haven't hit 100 millionaire yet. We have people that are between 100 to a billionaire. And we have people that are... Yes, but the way we do it is we try to provide knowledge. We have like two or three engagements with them every single month. But the people that are like 50 millionaire and below, we want to provide knowledge for them from the people that are above
that
50
already
millionaire.
Are in the
right. Oh, so God. Yeah, so because you want somebody who's achieved what they've done, but who's not so far from achieving it, they've forgotten what they did. You know, because that's the way, I mean, that's the problem sometimes. You bring someone like a Tony Numelu to come talk to people who have not started a business yet. And the best they can tell them is, you know, dream big, work hard, you know, the usual stuff.
Of course.
You know, don't give up, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Because he doesn't really have very, very, very concrete knowledge. I mean, he probably was at their level 30-something years ago.
30 years ago, a long time ago. So yeah, a lot of things changed from that time.
Yes. But if you brought somebody who has maybe grown the business, so you're talking to people that have never started a business, and you bring in somebody who's grown their business and is in their fifth, sixth year, that person can say, okay, I get
still,
exactly.
And easily relate with those guys who are just starting because, you know, the gap is still quite close. I completely understand. So I don't want us to run out of time. I want to ask you a few questions. So, you know, Nigeria is in such a unique situation right now, especially as it concerns the economic situation. You know, a lot of people are hungry. A lot of people are talking about, you know, how things have skyrocketed in pricing and all of that stuff. How are you still able to consistently improve businesses to grow in a challenging economy? In Nigeria specifically today?
So it's really to realize that Nigeria is really just leveling up. And that's the first thing I tell the businesses in our community, that Nigeria is leveling up, right? I mean, look at every society in the world that that is developed is experiencing everything we're experiencing, right? I mean, like, fuel prices are getting higher. Look at it compared to what's happening everywhere else in the world. Food prices are getting higher. Look at our food prices compared to what's happening everywhere else in the world. Nigeria's rent, look at Nigeria's leveling up. So the first thing that we get our businesses to see is if you think the environment is chaotic, there's usually more opportunities in chaotic environments, right? So you want to shift your awareness because if everybody is panicking, nobody can solve the problem. right? So I remember in 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, we called a couple of our guys, said, look, this is going to be our best year yet because the entire world has gone to shit. And there's opportunities now, right? So you want to be able to work a lot harder, you know? And so it doesn't mean that the environment isn't challenging, but really every environment is challenging. I mean, even where you are and everywhere in the world, there are levels of challenges are different.
No
But
doubt,
if
100%.
somebody can focus on the opportunities, right? If rather than the challenges, you know, they'll most likely succeed. So what we try to do is to get our people into what I call hyper growth. So most of our community members, our mastermind members, and all, what we're trying to do with them is to get them to do everything they did in the whole of last year in the first 90 days of the coming year. Right? I mean, and that we've had significant luck because we have a lot of people that have achieved that. Because if you can get them to do it, their mind just opens that, look, you know, it's not that hard.
It's
So I'll
not
give you a perfect
difficult. Yeah,
example.
please.
I was talking to somebody today who this year they did 700 million, right? And so I asked the guy what his goal was for last year. Someone in our community, he said his goal was to do 2 billion. And I said, no, you can't do 2 billion. Your goal should be to do 4 billion. The guy says, oh, wow. I said, yeah. I said, how many clients do you have in your clientele? I mean, like, because they sell farmland. He said they have about 1,200 clients. I said, good. What's your, you know, predominant product? The guy says, a particular product that's 3.5 million. I said, okay, good. I said, what we're going to do is that we're going to do 7 million in the first quarter. And so we divided and realized that he only needed 200 clients, 200.
So, and more clients.
No, 200 people in his clientele
Currently.
buying the 3.5 million naira product within the first 90 days to do 700 million. And he already has a
Ideally,
thousand
the whole of the
people.
year in
Yeah.
2024, you could do it in one quarter.
In 90, he has 1,200 customers that have bought from him over the years. 1,200. If we could just get 200 of them to buy his basic product in the first 90 days, he'll hit it. So, like, you don't even need new clients for this stuff, right? I mean, we just need to farm your
Firm up.
community, you know, and then you would see all the people there. And so usually most businesses, they're not working as hard as they should. If they work really hard, they will blow up. It's not that difficult.
Now, maybe wrapping up, because I want us to keep to time. I had loads of questions to ask you, but I want us to still keep with time. So I wanted to ask, what's your vision for SMEs in Nigeria? Like, what's your long-term vision for SMEs and MSMEs? How do you see them contributing to the broader economy, and what role do you believe Limp Simple will play in achieving this?
Oh, great. I mean, so I don't really like the term SMEs because I think that labeling them always keeps them small. So within our community, we don't really use that term. And I think that, you know, the government, Nigeria is where the US was in 1867.
Oh my God.
And
This is 2025.
just be honest, right? And in 1867 was the beginning of the era of what you call the men who built America. And the men who built America were not politicians, they were entrepreneurs. So that's where Nigeria is. Nigeria is going to change because of business, not necessarily because of anything else. And so within our community, we intend to be very instrumental. In fact, one of our goals is to raise a 100 businesses. We're at 48 now, who do over $1 billion a year.
Whoa, thanks.
We're currently at 48.
That's
We're
you.
currently at
Over 100 billion.
no, over $1 billion a year, not
Sorry,
$1 billion.
$1 billion a year. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, $1 billion. Who do $1 billion a year?
That's
You
huge.
know, and we believe that the exponential effect of that of businesses in Nigeria doing $1 billion a year, it would show in the quality of lives the entrepreneurs live. It'll show in the quality of lives the staff of those businesses live. It is showing the quality of businesses, the quality of competition in the market. You know, so I believe that if Nigeria is going to become the country that we think we could all become, it's businesses. These small businesses have to become big businesses for things to move.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you, Ezekiel Shelesi, for your time today. CEO Limp Simple, it's been really awesome having you on board. Maybe one final question in 30 seconds if you can. Now, in Nigeria, we kind of see more churches, more religious groups growing, and we see less industries or less companies thriving, so it would seem. How can we rejig that? What do you think religion has, the impact of religion in how our economy drives or grows? You have Shiloh today, you have all of these gatherings, huge gatherings, but we don't seem to see so much when it comes to growing industries. What can we do different in about 30 seconds?
It's something I'm also concerned about, because every time a church buys a factory, it's companies that are shut down, but you don't blame the churches that they're doing what they have to do, but businesses on the other hand. So I think that I don't think it's really in their hands to solve. It's in the hands of people like us and the entrepreneurs to really level up, right? If we build bigger businesses, I mean, we wouldn't have to worry about them. I don't think that any church is doing anything bad by building a bigger place. Although I do think that churches should sort of get into the conversation about enterprise a little more and build more tech hubs and all that kind of stuff. But again, I'm not a pastor, I'm not the one that called them, but if they won't do it, then maybe we should do it, right? So that we don't have to cross them.
All right. Again, it's been such an awesome time with you, Ezekiel, trying to learn from your personal experience, trying to learn how you grew your business, and of course, just where you are today. Thank you again for making our time with us. If you have any parting words for us, we'll call it a wrap afterwards.
No, thank you. I don't have any parting words. I just want to say thank you for at least this has been fun. I mean, if I knew this was fun, would have made the time for a very long time.
Maybe we'll bring you up again sometimes next year. We discuss some other stuff. Thank you so much for your time. Cheers,
Have a
and
great day.
enjoy the rest of your day now. Bye bye.